Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Nun Vav. We left off on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. We had been discussing yesterday the age that a person has to attain before he or she is able to sell property, real property, that was inherited from his parents. And so we saw Machlokas in the Gemara yesterday, maybe it's 18, maybe it's 20, or 18 and a day, or 20 and a day. And in addition to attaining the age of 18 or 20, you also have to have Simonim, you also have to have Beis Sairos. The Gemara then wound up saying that age requirement exists only if the person doesn't have any special business acumen, doesn't have any special level of sophistication when it comes to transactions. However, if the person does have special higher level of sophistication when it comes to transactions, then it might be possible to transact even with respect to real property from a younger age. And we said from bar mitzvah, from when you become a gadol, from 13 and a day for a boy, 12 and a day in a girl, so long as you have this level of sophistication. We saw yesterday also that there was a difference between real property and movable property, that by metaltalin, the chachamim were gozer, even pu'utos, even kids who have reached the age of 6 or 7 are able to sell movable property, personal property, and this special takana of requiring an older age to sell was one that was applicable only to real property. Now, building off of that discussion, the Gemara is then going to talk about how old somebody has to be in order to provide edus. So let's say we said that you're not allowed to sell karka until you're 18 or 20. How about providing edus regarding a transaction involving karka? Do you also have to be 18 or 20, or can you be even younger? The Gemara is going to start off discussing that. The Gemara is going to talk about various things for which we require a bedika, for which we require a check to see how old the person is. We'll see it's required for kedushin, for gerushin, for miyun, for chalitza. We'll see various machloksin regarding all of these matters. That takes us to the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph is going to get back to discussing the halachos of Matnas Shchiv Meira. We had been assuming until this point that Divrei Shchiv Meira are kichsuvin uchem esurin dami, that Divrei Shchiv Meira are given effect even if they're oral, even with a verbal declaration that you don't require a separate kinyan. However, we're going to see that's only one of the shitas. There's another shita, the shita of Rav Elezer, that we're going to be introduced to in the Mishnah, who says that you require a kinyan even for a matnas shchiv meira, even for a deathbed gift. And the Gemara is going to the Mishnah is then going to bring a story that we had seen a couple of times already about the Bnei Rochel and whether the mother of the Bnei Rochel was able to give over some nechasim through a verbal declaration. And the Gemara is going to explain what was actually happening with his maisa, what was she trying to give, and why the Chachamim may have been gozer that her gift was valid, even though ordinarily an oral gift, a verbal gift like that, would not be valid. And then finally, the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis, if we get to there during today's shiur, is going to talk about a split shita, saying perhaps maybe ordinarily in the weekday you would require a kinyan in order for the Divrei Shchiv Meira to be effective. However, on Shabbos, when you're not able to make a kinyan, because you're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos, maybe on Shabbos a verbal declaration is going to be sufficient, and then there's another Tana who argues on that. So we'll see all of that in today's shiur. Hopefully, let's pick up again from Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We left off 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom, second to last word on the line. It's Amar Rav. So says the Gemara like this: Amar Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yoshua. So says Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, Ule Edus, Eduso Edus. Now, Lagabe Edus, his edus is going to be an edus. Why? And the edus is going to be an edus. In other words, explains the Rashbam from the edus from the time that he's 13 years and a day. In other words, from the time that he's bar mitzvah, so long as he brings two syros, in other words, as long as he's an adult for halachic purposes, so long as he's an adult, his edus is going to be an edus, even though he's being meyed on karka, even though he's being meyed on something regarding karka. Why? So explains the Rashbam, because in order to transact, you require an enhanced level of sophistication, and therefore, unless you prove to us that you have an enhanced level of sophistication, you're not going to be able to actually transact in karka until you're 18 or 20. But to be meyed on a transaction involving karka, all you're doing is you're telling people, you're telling the Beis Din what you saw. And in order to tell the Beis Din what you saw, you don't require any special level of sophistication. You don't have to know tiv masa matan, in the words of the Rashbam. And that's why, legabe edus, even if it's an edus involving karka, the edus is going to be kosher from the time that you're 13 and a day, from the time that you're bar mitzvah. So says the Gemara, Amar Marzutra, lo Amar Eled Lamataltali, Avalam Arkakoi Lo. So says Marzutra, well, how could that be? How could, if you can't transact on karka, how could you be made on karka? So maybe this halacha, that your edus is good from the time that you're 13 is only by metaltalim, but maybe it's not by karka. So Amar Li Ravashi Lamarzutra, so says Ravashi to Marzutra, Maishna Metaltali, Dizvine Zvine. So what's the reason for metaltalim, that the edus is valid once you're 13? Because you're able to sell once you're 13. But hang on, we had said yesterday that you're able to sell metaltalim not only when you're 13, but even when you've reached the status of peutos, even when you're as young as 6 or 7 years old. As if the criteria for giving valid edus is that you have to be able to make a transaction on the underlying subject matter of the edus, then your edus on metaltalin should be valid not when you're 13, but when you're 6 or 7 years old. So says the Gemara, Elamayata hadetnan hapeutos mekhan mekach umemkoran memkar bimetaltalin hachinami de dusan edus. So should it be that if the Chachamim were gozer, that Pu'utos are able to give over, that the Pu'utos are able to transact on Metaltalin from the time that they're 6 or 7, should it also be the case that, that their Edus should be valid on Metaltalin, on things that are Metaltalin from the time that they're 6 or 7? Can that really be? So Amar Lei, Hasam Be'inav Amdu Shnei Anashim Veleka. No. So says Marzutra, well, technically speaking, anybody who's able to transact on a matter can testify on that subject matter. However, we have a limitation because the pasuk says legabe edus v'yamdu shtei ha'anashim. And who's considered anashim? Anashim are only people who are above the age of bar mitzvah. These pu'utos are obviously not above the age of bar mitzvah. So there are basically two limiting factors, according to Marzutra, on the ability to give over, on the ability to give over edus. Again, Marzutra is arguing on the first shita that we saw. So according to Marzutra, one criteria is that you have to be able to actually transact on the underlying subject matter. And the second criteria is that you have to be an adult. That's why for karka, you're not going to be able to give edus on karka until you're 18 or 20, according to the machlokas that we saw yesterday. On metaltalin, mikar adin, you could give edus from the time that you're 6 or 7, because you're able to transact once you're 6 or 7. I can't give edus until I'm an adult. That's why I have to be 13 to give edus on metaltalin, according to Marzutra. Okay, so says the Gemara, another scenario where age makes a difference. So Amar Amemar, umatnaso matana, that and his matana is a matana. Whose matana is a matana? So says the Rashbam, three lines up from the bottom. Amra meimar umatnaso shall ben yud gimel v'yom echad, the matana of a boy who's 13 and a day, havi matana, it's considered to be matana, afal pi she'eni yadea b'tiv maso matan, v'ein mechiras karkos of mechira. So interesting, even though he can't sell karka once he's 13, he's able to give a gift of karka once he's 13, even though he hasn't established that he has any special level of sophistication or business acumen. He's still able to give karka, even though he's still able to give karka b'matana, even though he's not eligible to sell karka. So says the Gemara, Amar le Ravashi la Meimar, Hashto mazvini de makabel zuzi amrit delo, dilma mozu lu mozvin. Hang on. The reason that the 13-year-old boy, unless he shows a level of business acumen, is not allowed to sell karka is because we're afraid that he's not going to know how to properly value the karka. He's going to unduly discount the karka, and he's going to wind up getting not enough money, not fair value for the karka. But at least in a mechira, he's getting something back. Now, if you're telling me that he's not able to sell when he's getting something back, he's going to be able to give a gift where he's not getting anything back. So certainly he shouldn't be able to give it away for a matana where there's no hefsid greater than this, where he's not getting anything back. So if the whole purpose is to protect the kid from wasting his resources, from squandering his property, and that's why we say that you can't sell it because we're afraid that you're not going to sell it for the right price. So I can't sell it because I'm afraid that I'm not going to sell it for the right price, but I could give it away for free? That doesn't make any sense, says Rav Ashi. Well, according to you, if all we're concerned about is that he shouldn't lose money, well, then we should make an assessment on a case-by-case basis. Then whether his sale is valid should really depend on what he sold it for. So, l'tameich zavin shavi chamisha b'shisa, if the kid sold something worth five for six, then hachanami desvine zvine, then would you actually say that his sale is a sale? So, a couple of points here. So, first of all, on the zavin chamisha b'shisa, so Tosfos points out that maybe saying chamisha v'shisa, maybe saying when we're trying to talk about the kid having a profit, and if the whole reason that we say a sale is not valid is because we're afraid he's going to lose money, but maybe if he demonstrates that he's making a profit, we'll let the sale go through. Using a scenario where he sells something worth $5 for $6 is maybe not the best example, because says Tosfos, there's a machlokas and maseches baba metzia. If a person sells something worth $5 for $6, either that's onah and you have to kana umachzer, you have to return the overage, or that might be bitul mekach according to one of the opinions in maseches baba metzia. So if we're trying to give an example where the kid sells something, makes a profit, and we're going to let the sale stand, using an example where you sell 5 for 6, according to the Man D'Amar, who says that 5 for 6 is bitul mekach, not a very good example, says Tosfos. So Tosfos says, maybe it doesn't mean 5 for 6. Maybe it means it's worth a little bit more than 5, and he sold it for 6, and therefore it would be a case of kano machzer ona according to everybody. And says Tosfos, or maybe we're talking about karka and ein ona l'karko. So that's why you could have a scenario where you're selling 5 for 6, something worth 5 for 6, and it would still be a valid sale. And the Rashbam says that hachinami desvine zvine in the explaining the Gemara. So the Rashbam explains, can it really be the case that the purpose of this gzeira is solely to protect the assets of the katan? And so where we see that the assets of the katan don't require protection, such as where he's selling something for a profit, that you would not be that we would let the sale stand, says the Rashbam on the third line down. But to me, of a holo plugra banim b'mechiras pachos mi ben esrim sheni adibativ maso matan midi elokulu takon dlo laaviz vini, says the Rashbam, it's obvious that they made a flat takana. This was a low plug in order to protect people. We're not going to look at the specifics of the transaction and say, oh, if he lost money, then we're going to invalidate the sale. If he made money, then we're going to validate the sale. No, it's a low plug. The sale is not valid under any circumstances. Ella, so says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, second line down on Kufnut Vavav and Aleph, Ella Kimle Larabanan, the Yanuka Makarva Daite Gabe Zuze. Why is it that they said his sale's not a valid sale? Because they know that the Tinok, he's a very immature person, and he's going to be very excited at the prospect of making any money on account of the item that he has up for sale. The Amritz Vines Vine, and if we gave him the ability to transact, if we gave him the ability to sell things, Zimnin de Makarkashi Le Zuze, Azul Mazvin Lakula Nichze Davua. Maybe the purchaser is going to jingle some coins and the kid's going to get excited because he's going to hear the coins jingling and he likes coins and he's interested in that, and he's going to wind up selling all of his father's Nechasim at a great loss. That's why we said that his sale is not a valid sale. Aval gabe matana. Now, why aren't we afraid that he's going to squander all of his father's nechasim by giving them away in a matana? Aval gabe matana ilav da havi le'ano mine lo avi yoev le matana. And if he didn't have a hana from giving the matana, He wouldn't give away all his stuff for free. By a sale, we're afraid he's going to sell for a low price because he's intoxicated by the sound of the coins. He's very interested in it. It's very alluring to him. By a matana, the guy wouldn't give a matana unless he were getting something back in exchange for the matana. And Amar Rabbanan tavi matnasa matana deli avdu luimili. And the Rabbanan said, let his matana be a matana. That way he could give things away to people and he could curry favor with people, and if he curries favor with people, people are going to do nice things for him. In other words, the Rabbanan wanted to put the kid in a position where he's able to make a gracious act of giving a matana, so that people then reciprocate and act kindly towards the child. So says the Gemara. Now moving on to a different discussion. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Bodkin likedushin ligerishin lichalitza ulamayunin. We make a bedika to see if a person is a child or an adult for kedushin, for gerishin, for chalitza, and miyun velimkar benichsei aviv, and to sell the nechasim of your father achi ben esrim. Okay, so says the let's see the Rashbam, what the Rashbam says over here. So he says bodkin likedushin. So he says apal pishu ben yud gimel shana v'yamechad. Even though the boy might be 13 and the girl might be 12, lo samchina nashanim, we don't rely simply on age, lach zakinu kigdolim, in order to establish that they're gedolim, uvne seyar lach shev kedusha seyen, vadai, af lahakel kigon levatel kedusha sheni, shekidish achrav bloget, elabotkin achrav imeviu saros oz yichashvu kedusha vadai. So says the Rashbam, we don't rely on years, we don't rely on the fact that the kid looks like he might have hair. We actually have to do a bedika to see if he has hair. So we have to do bedika for all of these things, and to sell the nechasim, it's only when you're 20. So says the Gemara, well, you said that you have to be bodek for kedushin because you have to establish that the boy is an adult in order to be mekadesh a woman. And then you have to be bodeg for gerushin in order to make sure that the boy is an adult when he divorces the woman. So says the Gemara, v'kibin de batkinu l'kedushin l'gerushin l'mali. Once you were bodeg him when he did kedushin on the woman, he's already married to her now, so why do you have to be bodeg him again when he's divorcing the woman? You already did the bedika before kedushin. So says the Gemara, l'nitzurcha ela l'yibum. No, we're talking about a situation of yibum. Why? Because you're allowed to do Yibam, you remember from Masechet Yevamos, from the time that you are 9 years old. So we're talking about a situation where the kid did Yibam when he was 9 years old. He obviously wasn't an adult then, he wasn't 13, he didn't have Simanim then. Now he wants to divorce his Yevama. He wants to divorce his wife through Yibam. Now he can't divorce his wife through Yibam until he's an adult, and therefore he's locked in from the age of 9 until the age of 13. Once he turns 13, they can do a bedika. If he has Beis Aros, then he can now divorce his Yibam wife. The Tanan, like we learn in the Mishnah, Ben Tesha Shanim V'Yom Echad, Shabal Yevimto Kana, that a 9-year-old kid, and a kid who's 9-year-old in a day, who does Yibam, he is Kona's wife, it's a valid Yibam, they no sin get Atche Yagdil, and he's not able to give her a get until he actually reaches the age of being a Gadol. Okay, L'chalitza, now we check for Chalitza. Who are we checking L'chalitza? We're checking the woman for Chalitza, La'afuke med Rav Yosef, to show that we don't hold like Rav Yosi. Why? The Amar Ish Kasa B'Parsha, Aval Isha Bengdola Bengtana, Bengdola Bengtana. So because it says in the Parsha of Chalitza, it says Ish. So I might think that only the man has to be an adult, but the Chalitza works on the woman, whether the woman is an adult or whether the woman is a child. Kamash Malan, Demakshina and Isha Leish. Kamash Malan, that we compare the man to a woman, we compare the woman to a man. Delo Kad Rav Yosi, not like Rav Yosi. In other words, even though Rav Yosi says that you're allowed to do Chalitza on a girl who is less than Bas Mitzvah, we hold that both protagonists in the Chalitza, both the man and the woman, have to be adults, and therefore, even if you have a guy who's 20 or 30 who's doing a chalitza on a young lady who is about 12, you have to do a bedika in order to make sure that the woman is an adult as well. Lumiyunin and miyun. So again, what is miyun? Miyun means mida oraisa. a girl's father can give her away in Kedushin even before she reaches the age of being a gedola. And then the Rabbanan made a takana of a special type of Kedushin midrabbanan that her mother or her brothers are allowed to give her away in Kedushin as well. But she has the ability to make a macha. She has the ability to protest that Kedushin derabbanan by refusing the Kedushin. And that refusal is called miyun. She's able to do miyun only until she becomes a gedola. So unlike the other things where the actions are ineffective until he or she is a gedola, a gadol or a gedola, here the miyun is effective only until he or only until she becomes a gedola. So lemiyun in lafuke med Rav Yehuda, and miyun is to exclude the shita of Rav Yehuda. The amar archiyirve shachar. Kamash Malan to look at Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says that she's allowed to do miyun even after she brings Beis Iros until the time where the coverage of hair in her pubic region is such that there is more dark than white. What's white? Tosfa says white means skin. But forgetting about that, Tosfa also asks over here. Hang on, we're saying that you have to do a bedika by miyun to go against the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Because even though one of the Mandi Amrim hold that she needs Beis Iros, Rav Yehuda says it has to be even more than Beis Iros, it's Achayir B'Shachar Al-Alavan. Says Tosfos, but according to Rav Yehuda, you also need a Bedika. How else are you being Bodek that she's Mar B'Shachar Al-Alavan? So how is the concept of requiring a Bedika showing me that we're going against Rav Yehuda? It's just a different bedika. Rav Yehuda will also require a bedika because he also requires some evidence of hair, of coverage, in order to take her out of the ability to do miyun. So says Tosfos, Vim Tiomar, Minole La Fuke Med Rav Yehuda. How do we know that this comes to exclude the Shita of Rav Yehuda? Dilma Bedika the Rav Yehuda Iri. Maybe in the Gemara, when we're talking about the bedika that's required for miyun, it's a bedika to confirm or not whatever Rav Yehuda requires. Says Tosfos, no, because all the other bedikas that we're talking about here, the bedikas for Gerushin, for Chalitza, for Kedushin, are all bedikas of Beis Iros. Therefore, if we're lumping Miyun into that set, it's mistaber that the bedika that's required for Miyun is consistent with the bedika that's required for all of those other things. Tosfos then says that we also have to look into the fact, is the shita of Rav Yehuda, who requires not only Beis Iros but Ad Sheyarba Shachar Alalavon, is that only by Miyun? Or maybe he says that a person doesn't reach the status of a Gadol or a Gdola until not only do they bring Cyrus, until they bring Cyrus Kadesha Yarba Shachar Alavan. Tosfos leaves that in a state of suffix. Okay, so now back in the Gemara, the next thing that we had said was about selling the nechasim of your father. So says the Gemara, v'limkar b'nichsei aviv, and to sell the nechasim of the father, achi ben esrim, until you're 20, lafuke miman diamar ben shmon esrei. That's to go against the miman diamar, who said that you were able to sell the nechasim of your father, talking about karkos, from the time that you're 18 in a day. We saw yesterday, machlokas, do you have to be 18 or 20? So the Gemara now is coming down, paskening that you have to be 20. So, ula halacha, now the Gemara, the lehilchasa, now the Gemara is going to pasken a bunch of halachas on topics that we were discussing over the past few days. Tochzman is kilif nezman. So the first thing that the Gemara discussed was, okay, you have to be 18 or 20. Does it mean in your 18th year or in your 20th year, or does it mean that you actually have to be 20 and a day? So the Gemara is now paskening tochzman in your 20th year is kilif nezman. It's as if you're younger, and therefore, in order to transact, you actually have to be 20 and a day. Vilchasa ki gidol bar menashe, and halachas like gidol bar menashe. What's that? Says the Rashbam, de ben yud gimel ayadeh b'masa matan mocher b'nechse aviv afilu mekarkoi, that a kid who's 13 and a day who has business acumen is able to sell even karkos. Dilo metaltli afilu putos kvar shismoch run, because if it's metaltlin, even a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, as we've seen, can sell the metaltlin. So the halacha is, the base halacha is that you have to be 20. But you only have to be 20 if you don't have any business acumen. if you have business acumen and if you're sophisticated, then you're allowed to sell even when you're 13. Vilchasak Marzutra, the halacha is like Marzutra. What's Marzutra? Tosfa says the Le'edus metaltli meyed ben yud gimel, the ein yodea betiv maso matan, avobedus karka lo. Marzutra is the shita that we opened with in today, or the second shita that we saw in today's shir, who said that even though the first Mandi Amar said that you're allowed to be meyed, that the katan is, that the 13-year-old's allowed to be meyed on inyonim involving karka, Marzutra said no, that you have to be 13. Now you can be meyed when you're 13, even if you're not familiar with tiv maso matan. But Marzutra had said that you're not allowed to be meyed on something unless you are able to transact on the underlying thing. And that's why Marzutra said that karka you're not allowed to be meyed on until you're 20. Metaltlin you're allowed to be meyed on from the time that you're 13. Even if you're not sophisticated, still you're an adult, and therefore you're allowed to be meyed. And the Gemara then continues, Vilchaza Kamemar, and the halacha is like Amemar. And what did Amemar say? Amemar spoke about the case of Matana. The Matnas Ben Yud Gimel, Shein Yodea Betiv Maso Matana, Ave Matanaso Matana, the Afal Gav de Mechiras Nechosav Lo Ave Mechira. Amemar distinguished between a Matana, which we give validity to, from the age of 13, and a mechira, which we say is not valid until the kid is 20. Vilchasa k'Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel b'kulu, and the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel in everything he says. And what's everything he says? In the list that we just went through. In other words, that by kedushin v'gerush and chalisa miyunim d'los abchinen ashanim, says the Rashbam, we don't rely on age alone, ad shenivdok simanim, until we're bodek simanim, v'limkar b'nechzei aviv, ad shiu ben esrim, and in order to sell in the chasim of the father that are karkos, you have to be 20, v'yavei simanim. And that's talking about when do you have to be 20? It's only when you don't have any business acumen. And as we saw yesterday, if he doesn't have any seir by the time he turns 20, and he doesn't have siman esris, if he has siman esris, then he's an adult when he's 20. If he doesn't have siman esris, and he's over 20 and still has no simanim, then we consider him to be a katan until he reaches Chatzi Shnosa. What's Chatzi Shnosa? We saw yesterday it's 36 years old. The Rashbam then says, towards the end over here, he says, some say that this inability to sell until you're 20 is only by nechasim that he inherits from his father. And the Rashbam then says it could be that if he came into nechasim some other way, like if somebody gave him matana of karka, or if he bought karka, then he's allowed to sell that karka even if he's less than 20 years old, because the whole reason that we said that he's not allowed to sell the karka of his father is we're afraid he's going to squander his entire Yerusha. But if it's not his Yerusha, and therefore we're not afraid that he's going to squander his entire Yerusha, maybe, says the Rashbam, we would enable him to sell karka even before he reaches the age of 20. Okay, so now let's start the next Mishnah. So again, this Mishnah again is talking about Matna Shechiv Merah. Until this point in the Gemara, we have been assuming that the Matana of a Shechiv Merah is different than the Matana of a Bari, because if a Bari gives a Matana, if a healthy person gives a Matana, the Makabal Matana has to do a Kinyan in order to be kona the thing that's given a Matana. We had assumed that by a Matna Shechiv Merah, the Matna Shechiv Merah is effective even just on a verbal declaration, without the requirement that an actual kinyan be done. That's what we call divrei shchiv merah is kichsuvin uchemesurin dami. So says the Mishnah, hamachalik nechasav al piv. If a shchiv merah tries to apportion his nechasim al piv, al peh. Rav Elazar Omer, echad bari ve'echad mesukan, both by a bari and by a mesukan, both by a healthy person and by a shchiv merah, nechasim sheyesh lan achrayis, niknin bekesa peshara b'chazaka, v'she'en lan achrayis, ein niknin ela b'meshicha. That karka is kone bekesef, shtar, and chazaka, and nechasim she'en lan achrayis, and metaltlin are kone with meshicha. In other words, even though it's a mesukan, even though we're talking about a shchiv merah, you require a kinyan in order to transact. In order to transact, parenthetically, why is karka called nechasim sheish lemachrayis? Because a balchov, if a balchov wants to collect from you, the Baal Chov will be able to collect either from your liquid assets or from any nechassim that you have. Karka is considered that it has achrayas because karka is very difficult. You can't hide karka. If you own karka, the Baal Chov will know that you have karka, and therefore he'll know to collect from that karka. Mashen came etaltalin, they're movable objects, therefore you can hide them away. If you want to pretend that you don't have any assets, you can move your car to a garage in another neighborhood, and nobody's going to know that you have it. So that's why it's called Ein Len Achrayas versus Yesh Len Achrayas. Okay, so the Shita of Rav Elezer is that even by a matna shchimera you require a kinyan. He doesn't hold from divrei shchimera kechzuvin kmesurin dummy at all, and you require a kinyan like every matana of a healthy person, and therefore explains the Rashbam according to Rav Elezer, the afalgav demeis lo kana makabel matana blo kinyan vafilu mitzvah machmas misa l'rav nami l'rav Elezer boy kinyan, and even a mitzvah machmas misa requires a kinyan. And the Rashbam then says that since Rav Elazar is not distinguishing at all between a healthy person and a shchimera who's giving away nechassim, it would turn out that according to Rav Elazar, you're not kona anything unless you do a kinyan, and once you do a kinyan, you're kona even if the shchimera ultimately gets healthy. We had been assuming in the Gemara that we've been seeing over the last couple of days that the shchimera, if he gives away all of his nechassim, so it's obvious that he's giving his nechassim away only because he expects that he's going to die, and then he recovers, the matana is retracted because he never would have given away all his nechassim. Says Rav Elezer, no, that's only according to the Shita that there's some special power in the dibur of the shchimera to affect the kinyan. If you actually do a kinyan and you're konet, then even if the guy recuperates, it doesn't go back to him. All right, so that's the Shita of Rav Elezer, that the matna shchimera is exactly like a matna zbari. So turning over to Kufnun Vavam Abay, so Amar lo Maisa b'iman shebnei Rochel, there was a Maisa with the mother of the bnei Rochel. Rochel was the name of their father, says the Rashbam. Shaisa chola, she was very sick. V'yamra, and she said, Tenu kavinasi libiti, give my brooch to my daughter. V'hi b'shnei masar mane, and it's worth 12 mane. Umesa, and she died. V'kimu at devareah, and they were Mekayim her words, even though she never did a kinyan. So first of all, the Rashbam explains here that even though the daughter of the Bnei Rochel didn't do a kinyan, the Rashbam explains here that this whole case is very muddled. We don't know whether the mother had other nechassim and therefore the brooch represented only a matana of part of her nechassim, and she said that she was giving the brooch machmas misa, and that's why they enabled the gift to take effect even without a kinyan. Or if the brooch represented all of her nechassim, and therefore it was obvious that she was giving away all of her nechassim machmas misa, and therefore it would have been like a matna shchimera, even if she didn't say explicitly that she was doing it because she was afraid she was going to die. But regardless, what we see here, whether it was a case where she was giving away part of her nechassim and said, "I'm giving it because I'm about to die," or it was a case where she was giving away all of her nechassim and she therefore didn't have to specify anything. She had a bunch of sons. She had a daughter. She gave away her brooch to her daughter, and the Chachamim said, that's a valid gift. So we see that we gave effect to her words to give the brooch to the daughter, even though the daughter never did a kinyan. So says Rav Elezer, Amalam b'nei Rochel tikbarim imam. The b'nei Rochel, they're Risham. They deserve to bury their mother. In other words, very harsh language. We'll see why there were such Rasham in the Gemara in a minute. But basically what Rav Elezer was saying was this was a special knas that the Chachamim implemented and that the Chachamim were gozer on the Bnei Rochel to permit their mother to redirect the Nechassim to their sister instead of giving it to them even without a kinyan. But that's not because ordinarily the Divrei Shchimera are kechzuvenuch mesurin dami and don't require a kinyan. Usually they do require a kinyan. The Bnei Rochel, we let the gift take effect even without a kinyan to penalize the sons. So says the Gemara, we're going to explain a little bit what we said in the Mishnah. So Tanya, so says the Braisa, Amar len Rav Eliezer, the Girsir is Rav Eliezer, but the Masoras HaShash changes it to Rav Elazar, because Rav Elazar was the Tana that we had in the Mishnah. So Amar len Rav Elazar lechachamim, Maisa b'maruni echad, Shaya b'Yerushalayim, there was a Maisa with a person who came from Maron, who was in Yerushalayim, Vayulam metaltalin harbein, he had a lot of metaltalin, Avikesh litnim b'matana, he wanted to give them away in a matana. So Amar lo, and we assume that he was a Shchemira. So Amru lo, they said to him, Ein lem takana ache yikne al gavi karka. The people who he wanted to give the nechasim to weren't in front of him, and therefore they couldn't make a kinyan. So how do you make a kinyan when the person who you want to give the thing to is not in your proximity? You do what's called a kinyan agav. You're makne karka to him, and agav the karka, you're makne a lot of metaltalin to him. So halach v'lokach beis sela, so he went and bought a very little plot of rocky land, which was very cheap, because nobody wants to buy rocky land, you can't plant it. So echad samach Yerushalayim, v'amar, and he said like this, Tzfono, the northern part of this property is Laploni, you should go to this person, v'imo meyatzon, u'meyachavios, and with that little piece of property, the person should get 100 sheep and 100 barrels of wine. V'droma Laploni, and the southern portion of this little piece of property should go to this other person, v'imo meyatzon u'meyachavios, and with it 100 barrels and 100 sheep. Umeis, and then he died. The kimu chachamim as devarav, and the chachamim were mekayim his words. And says Rav Elazar, the reason that they were mekayim his words is only because he made a kinyan agav. Had he not made a kinyan agav, they wouldn't have been mekayim his words, because divrei shchemira are lav kichsuvin uchem esurin dami. So says the Gemara, Amr lo misham raya maroni barihaya. The maroni wasn't a shchemira at all. The reason that he had to do a kinyan agav was not because a shchemira requires a kinyan, it's because he was a healthy person. And of course, a healthy person, in order to give him a tana, you have to make a kinyan. Says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Lahen, B'nei Rochel Tikbar Animim, in the Maisa that we had in the Mishnah, where we tried to bring a raya that Divrei Shchemiras Kechsuvin Chemesurin Dami, because the mother of the B'nei Rochel gave her brooch to the daughter just by a verbal declaration, Rav Elazar said, no, that was a special knas of B'nei Rochel Arasham, and therefore they deserve to bury their mother. Says the Gemara, Mai Taima Kalayat Lahu, what did they do already that Rav Elazar is cursing them so much? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mekayme Kotsim Bekerim. They used to leave thistles growing in a kerem, and that was a violation of kelayim. Rav Elazar letamei, and Rav Elazar goes according to his own reasoning. And a kelayim obviously is when you leave two species growing in close proximity. You're not allowed to have grain and vines growing in the same field. Tetnan hamakayim kotsim bekerem. If you're mekayim thistles in the kerem, Rav Elazar omer kadosh. Rav Elazar says it's kadosh. What does it mean kadosh? We're not talking about hektish. Kadosh means that it condemns the field, that the field is not usable because it's kelayim bekerem. Bekerem, v'chachamim omrim lo kadosh, and the chachamim say it's not kadosh. It is that leaving thistles growing in the vineyard is not significant enough to make the field usur mishum kelayim. Ela davar shekamo mekaymin. So the only thing that makes kelayim is if you have vines, if you have grapes with something that it's the derech that people leave growing in a field. People don't usually leave thistles growing in a field. Therefore, if you leave the thistles growing in a vineyard, that is not an iser of kelayim. So bishlama karkom, I understand crocus, chazi. Elakotzim lamai chazi. But these thistles are not fit for anything. Nobody would ever leave thistles in a field, and therefore, if you happen to have thistles in your vineyard, it's not an iser of kelayim. Some Rav Chanina, so says Rav Chanina, my tamid Rav Elazar. What's the reason of Rav Elazar? Why does Rav Elazar say that being mekayim thistles in a field is an isra of kalayim? Doesn't he hold from the idea, from the concept, that you're only over on kalayim if you're leaving something to grow? That's the derech that people leave to grow. So says the Gemara, Shekein ba'aravya mekayim and kotzim besadas legmaleim. Because in Aravya, they actually do leave kotzim growing for their, they do leave kotzim growing there for their camels. So that's why he holds that kotzim would be an issue of kalayim. Whereas the other mandiyamer says no, we don't follow only what they do in one locale. It has to be something that people generally let grow in a field. And now the Gemara concludes, Amar Rav Levi, Kone Kinyan Meshchimera Afilu B'Shabbos, that we are Kone a Kinyan from a Shchimera even on Shabbos, V'lo Lochosh L'Divrei V'Velazar, and the reason that I say you could do a Kinyan is not because I'm Choshesh for V'Velazar who holds that I need a Kinyan in order to acquire from a Shchimera, because I hold that Ishchimera, that Divrei Shchimera is Kechsuv in a Chumasurin Dami, and therefore his gift works even on a verbal declaration. Why do I say that we're allowed to make a Kinyan and even on Shabbos? Ela Shema Titrov Daito Olav. We're afraid that maybe he's going to get very nervous, and we're afraid it's going to hasten his demise. That's why we are able to be Kona even on Shabbos. As the Rashbam explains, Masha Konin Lav the Tzorach Kinyan K'Rav Elazar. It's not that we require a Kinyan like the Shita of Rav Elazar, the Kaimelan K'Rabbanan, because we all like the Rabbanan that Divrei Shchimeraz K'Ksuvin and K'Mesurin Dami. Ela L'Hafiz Daito, it's to appease him. K'Desh L'Titrov Daito, Konim D'Hashta Samcha Daite. Because now that we do an actual Kinyan, then he's going to be super sure that we are going to give, that we are going to abide by his wishes, and that's going to give him a little bit of nachas ruach, even though he's ill. That's why we're allowed to effectuate a kinyan even on Shabbos. And tomorrow we'll pick up again, learning more shitos on matnas chimera and how their gifts can be effective.